Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today's show is about this is October. It is the month of Halloween, so we've got some kind of creepy topics this month. And today's topic is on Edgar Allan Poe, of course, famous writer and critic, who died a very mysterious death, and we're going to talk about that. Before we do, let me introduce our panel. To my left, we have the very lovely and vivacious Brandy. How's it going, Brandy?
It's going great, Tim. How are you?
I am doing well. Are you happy that it's October and almost Halloween?
I am. I love Halloween.
I know you do.
This is a busy time for the devil.
Yeah, it's a busy month for Satan.
I got things to do, kids to visit.
It's the one time of the year that scaring kids is appropriate.
Right. You kind of celebrate all year round in that aspect.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And, of course, joining Brandy and I, as always, is the very distinguished, honorable, avant-garde, I would say.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't be better. Thank you very much. It's a beautiful Friday here. Just settling in. My youngest is up in Chicago with his brothers. So that leaves me and a little lady home alone for the whole weekend.
What, do you have any plans?
I got lots of plans, Timmy.
Any that you can share?
Not that I can share, but some of them will be posted on the internet.
Is there going to be a Colonel's sex tape?
God, no.
We're going to have the Colonel's Wild Weekend. Colonel Gone Wild, yeah. And it put Charlie Sheen to shame, Timmy.
I hope it's going to be better than the Hulk Hogan video, because that was a little disappointing. Yeah,
the production values in that were not great.
Yeah, correct. So, Colonel, are you preparing for, last time you mentioned you were going to be on Dancing with the Stars, you've been rehearsing?
We was rehearsing for a little bit, and then Betty, my partner Betty White, she...
So are you the pro in this scenario, or is she?
Well, actually, she is. She's training me, but she strained her coccus. Caucus?
Her coccus?
Coccus, yeah.
She broke her tailbone?
It was something like that. It was kind of a spin.
You know what you mean, carcass?
Yeah.
And I let her go a little early. She wasn't really prepared. She landed
she
on
broke
the
her
bottom.
Hip. Don't tell me she broke her hip.
No, it was a... What was the word you used there? The scientific... Coccus. She broke her coccus. Like in Napoleon Dynamite.
She broke her tailbone. Her tailbone.
No, she just bruised it and strained it. Mm. She's going to be fine.
Wait, did they wrap that up?
No, I massage her with some shea butter every night.
Oh. Well, that's awful thoughtful of you, Colonel. Mm-hmm. You have any shout-outs?
I got a couple shout-outs today, Timmy. Of course, we got... the beautiful, smart, and lovely Dottie Scott.
Hi, Mom.
That we have to give out every week. We have Lady Beverly, who was still working on logistics of doing Jack the Ripper. Of course, we always got Canute because of the dog, really. Canute, you're a nice guy, but your dog. And Lady Beverly got a wonderful dog. Colleen, we do appreciate how active you are on our page. So, Colleen, you keep posting your thoughts on there. Khloe Kardashian. Got to give a shout out to her ass.
It's Kim Kardashian's ass.
No, they all got big asses. And Volkswagen, our new sponsor this week, Volkswagen. They're coming out with a new model, the Volkswagen Puffer. What does it do? Well, it just pollutes the air.
Oh, well, that's important.
Just like the rest of the Volkswagens do, but they haven't done the tweaks and adjustments.
I see. So it's a little bit more contributing to global warming for us.
Yes.
Gotcha. So, and don't we have a new shout out?
We do. We got Keith from Michigan. Keith sent us in a good idea for a show after the bath disaster we did. Keith sent us in about the 1913 Italian Hall disaster.
That's a good suggestion, Keith. Thank you.
Yeah, that'll be a good podcast if we ever get around to doing anything other than crazy people and serial killers.
Well, you know who you got to talk to.
I know. She got a thing with serial killers and creepy people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We were going to do something on the 1913 Italian disaster. Was some kids were, I think it was a school, they were having a Christmas party, and someone yelled fire, and a lot of kids got crushed. So maybe we can do something like with the Who concert.
That's why you can't yell fire in a crowded children's playground.
Yeah, I never yell movie at a firehouse.
Yeah.
Firemen get pissed off.
They get mad. Yeah. They get mad, they run you over.
That is a good suggestion, Keith. Thank you. And we'll put that to the list. And thanks for listening. Thanks, all of you, for listening. And let's go ahead, Colonel, if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and get started with our topic, Edward Allan Poe.
I have no objection to this show. Why would I mind?
Edward Allan Poe?
Edgard Allan Poe.
Yes. Was it Edgar's lesser-known brother?
A little-known fact that
Poe
the
fact.
Baltimore Ravens get that name from.
That's not little-known. Everyone knows that.
Not if you're not a football fan.
Well, if you are not a football fan, you probably don't know who the Baltimore Ravens are, period.
Did you have a rough night last night, Timmy?
I feel good.
You
it's
can't
Friday.
Cantankerous again today, Timmy.
Let's talk about Edgar Allan Poe, who was, of course, very famous American author. He was also a literary critic, an editor, and, of course, has developed a reputation of being the master of the macabre.
Here's the precursor to Vincent Price.
So is that how you say that word?
I don't know. But anyway.
Never stopped him before.
He was the author of such poems and stories such as The Raven.
Nevermore.
Huh?
Nevermore.
Annabelle Lee, my personal favorite. It was many and many years ago in A Kingdom by the Sea.
Love with a love that was more than love.
I am Annabelle Lee. Telltale Heart.
I have read all of these.
The Fall of the House of Usher, just to name a few.
The Mask of the Red Death.
I've read all of these.
But you know what that's about?
It's about scarlet fever.
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm. You were really close, though.
Yeah,
it was launching people over the wall.
Okay, anyway. So with his short stories and poems, Poe captured the imagination of interest of readers around the world. His creative talents led to the beginnings of different types of literary genres. Including
genres,
detective stories. Did you know that his writings were the first of the detective stories that led to none other than Sherlock Holmes? It was elementary, and even science fiction. So
H.P. Lovecraft was greatly influenced by Edgar Allan Poe.
Everybody's influenced by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Stephen King was influenced by Edgar Allan Poe.
So
everybody.
Everybody. Poe is cool. But anyway.
So he's the father of
everything.
But
I could say.
You would think having such fame and notoriety, he would have had a wonderful life. Nay, that was not the case. And especially his life and death are still a bit of a mystery, and we're going to talk about that. And the lines of action fictions have been blurred. It happens when you drink, too. Kind of things get blurred. Yeah. But anyway, Poe was born on January 19th, 1809, in Boston, Massachusetts. He was the son of actors. He never really got to know his parents. His father abandoned the family after when Edward was just 1 year old. And then his mother passed away when he was only 3. She died of?
Syphilis.
Oh, consumption.
She died of the consumption.
Yes, she died of tuberculosis.
Didn't your mom die of the consumption?
Well, if you want to call cancer consumption, yeah.
Consumption was...
My mama was consumed by the cancer, yeah. By the time they found it, it was all from a baby toe all the way up to a spine.
Well, but see, you open that can of worms. Now he's going to have dead mother stories to tell us.
I'm so tired of dead mother stories.
Folks, my mama passed away 18 years ago. She passed away on strangely, oddly, well, no, not really. She passed away the same day Lady Diana passed away.
Oh, really?
She did indeed.
I remember that day.
I remember that day clearly, too.
You know where I was? I was in Germany.
I was at my mother's bedside holding her hand. She was a sweet, sweet Irish woman. Well, she was not a sweet woman. She was meaner than hell. Terrible temper.
No dead mother stories.
Yeah.
died of the consumption.
I'm sorry. You know what? I got distracted. I'm sorry. You brought up my mama.
We're sorry, Colonel. We're sorry that you lost your mom. And I'm sure she was a lovely lady. And,
she was a lovely, lovely woman.
But anyway, you have this in common with Edgar Allan Poe. At least you had a relationship with your mom. He never did. His mother died when he was only 3. And this tuberculosis would claim the lives of a lot of people around Poe during his lifetime. His mother, his brother would die of tuberculosis. And later on, we'll talk about his wife, who also died of TB. So he was greatly affected by the disease, even though he never had it himself.
Now, Timmy, my my stepfather had tuberculosis.
The consumption,
and he lived in a farm in Tennessee. His father had died of the consumption. His mm-hmm. older brother had just died of the consumption. His mama got the consumption, and the state had to come in, the county came in, had to take all the kids, put them in an orphanage. He got the consumption. They sent him up here to Cincinnati, where they had Dunham Hospital, if you mm-hmm. remember, it was a sanitarium. Spent 18 months in the sanitarium and got better.
That's good.
And has two just the most horrific scars on his back that you'd ever seen. Because at that time, they cut you open and try to clean out the infection.
Yeah. It was a terrible, terrible disease.
So my mama and daddy had the consumption.
And it was quite common back in the day, and it claimed a lot of souls. And it impacted, as I mentioned, Poe greatly in his life with his loved ones. So after his mother died when he was 3, he moved in, he was separated from his siblings, and he moved in to live with a family, foster parent family, John and Frances Allen. And in fact, that's where Poe gets his middle name, Allen. See? I'm just full of
it. It all comes back around.
Yes, it does. John Allen was a successful tobacco merchant of death. And his wife, and they lived in Richmond, Virginia. Poe, the idea of adopting or bringing into the home Edgar was Francis's idea. So John wasn't too hot on the idea, but Francis wanted to bring him in, and they developed a bond, and she became a mother figure to him. But he had some clashes with John, and mostly it was over money. John was very driven toward profit. He was a businessman. And, you know, Poe was the dreamer, he was the writer, although he was...
So a daydream believer?
Yeah, he was athletic, but he was more focused on...
How did you miss that?
A career in writing and...
He's a daydream believer?
I got it, I picked up on it.
I know, I ignored it. I depend on Chuck.
But anyway...
Not you.
He developed a strong bond with Frances, and guess what happens to her?
She died.
She gets a consumption.
She died of the consumption. Yes, she did. And so when she perished, died of tuberculosis, it was heartbreaking to Edgar. And it further deteriorated. When she got sick, John Allen, her husband, he started bringing in women, floozies, into the home and having his way with them. Why his
floozies?
Why his wife? Yeah, why his wife was ill
being
with the consumption. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The wife was being consumed, and he was being a consumer.
Yeah. So
what a dick.
Yeah, he was like whoring around, and of course Poe didn't like that because he was very close to Francis. And when Poe went off to the university in 1826. John gave him money to pay for his tuition and stuff, but he wouldn't give him any money to spend, like on food and books or...
Can't give him everything.
Beer money or whatever. So Poe was,
Beer money?
Well, all the readings, they make a big deal about how this was a point of contention between Poe and John. Hell, the guy adopted him, took him in.
I know. I mean, Poe really should have just got a job at an Arby's or something to help pay for his stuff.
I know.
Well, I don't know why Poe, because, and this gets into, Poe got all yankled up because the father was bringing these women over the house.
Mm-hmm.
But, I understand that the poor lady had the consumption, but clearly she wasn't performing her wifely duties.
Well, it's hard to do that when you have tuberculosis.
I understand that...
It kills the mood.
I understand that. The hacking and the coughing does kill the mood.
It does.
But a man has needs.
Yeah. Well, and Poe didn't understand
Poe should have understood that.
And he just always had better relations with women than he did men. And again, his dad abandoned him. His real dad abandoned him. And he's having problems here with his John. So he starts gambling. He actually had to sell. He had to actually break up his furniture in his dorm room or college, wherever he was staying, to use as firewood because he couldn't afford firewood. But he started gambling, and he ended up $2,000 in debt. Now this is
for the love of
1826. So I don't know how much $2,000 would be, but it's a bunch of money. And so he went home and he was going to marry. He had this crush on this woman named Elmira Royster.
Elmira. Didn't the Oak Ridge Boys write a song about her?
They did.
Elmira.
Yeah.
Elmira.
If you like her, you would admire her, Elmira.
It's on fire.
But anyway, so his heart, he was in love. And Poe would kind of, he wouldn't just sleep with women. He'd kind of idolize them, and he'd make them to be...
As he should.
So anyway, she ended up getting engaged to someone else, and it broke his heart.
What a bitch.
Yeah. So Poe then, he left the Richmond area. He left the university because he couldn't pay to go to school. Should have got a grant. He should have got a Pell Grant.
He really should have.
Yeah. But anyway, he goes and he joins the Army for a bit up in Boston.
He's too sensitive for the Army.
Yeah, he really is. But he joined the Army for a bit, but he wanted to go to West Point. And finally, he was able to win a spot there in 1830. And he did okay there, but his real love was writing. He had already published some poems, and that's what he really wanted to do. So he wasn't the best cadet ever. And again, not because he wasn't smart enough. It's just like he was almost going
out
of his
way.
Yeah, he was almost going out of his way to get kicked out. And that also, again, his foster father, John, wanted him to, get out writing because he didn't see how way. And back in the day, it was hard to make a living as a writer, as it is today. But it was even harder then because there was no copyright laws. So people were just like... They would, editors or publishers would just steal material from other countries, like in England,
Timmy,
and print it.
Timmy, my broker just called me.
Yeah.
He wanted to let you know that in 1826, $2,000 would be like $41,000 today.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money he was writing. He was racking up a lot of debt.
You know what? I don't understand.
Which is less than student loans.
But still.
To have them, but. Yeah. But, yeah, so I would like
Randy's
to
Randy's like a mile and a half
I'd like
away.
To give another shout out to I'd like to give another shout out to my broker.
Silvio.
Chuck. Is that your broker?
I got a broker. He's the perfect broker because he's half Jewish, half Italian.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Come on, Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Samuel Alito, and he's a great. He's
what
great.
The hell's wrong with you? Why, Jesus Christ! You know what?
Let me continue.
But I don't understand.
He's a broke broker. Never trust a broke broker.
No.
Anyway, Randy, next podcast, you do not get chairs with wheels. You can't just roll away and scream from across the hall. Okay. Anyway, back
she
to.
She was getting those peanut M&Ms, Timmy.
I had a hankering. I don't know. I don't understand why.
Had a hankering?
How are you opposed to peanut M&Ms?
Can we get back to Poe, please? Okay. After leaving the academy, after he left West Point, where are we in this damn story? He left West Point.
Wait, spit it out.
To focus on writing full time. He moved around and looked for opportunities in New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Richmond. So he kind of stayed on the East Coast. New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia.
So he's literally a starving artist.
He's literally starving artist. Yes.
Literary starving artist.
Yes.
All right.
So from 1831, he always had financial problems his whole life. Bit of trivia. When he wrote The Raven, you know how much he made on it?
$5.
$3.
$5. He made $14 on The Raven. He made $5 on Annabelle Lee.
Now, you got to remember, there was no copyright laws back then.
Yeah, I think I just said that. No. So, but anyway.
That's why I said you got to remember.
Yeah, 1831 to 1835, he went to stay in Baltimore with an aunt, Maria Clem.
Did he fall in love with her?
No, it's worse. Maria had a daughter named Virginia. Well, Virginia was 12 years old.
Ew.
How old was Poe?
Poe was 26 at the time.
Did they fall in love?
They fell in love. And Maria Clem.
You get a 12-year-old to fall in love and bring
his
the girl
cousin.
Some Skittles.
And it's his cousin.
It's his
cousin.
His first cousin.
Well, that was not so odd back then. Because, you know, people are dying of the consumption left. Oh, right. Yeah. Hell yeah, marry someone.
You do. All you have to do is buy him some M&M's.
Buy him
peanut
some Skittles.
M&M's.
Peanut, yeah.
Well, anyway, he fell in love anyway. And she was actually, Maria was going to send her daughter away to live with some relatives for other reasons. And Poe become very distraught. And begged her to let Virginia stay. And they were married. They lied about her age. They said she was 21 instead of 12. Actually,
really?
She was almost 13 at the time.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Better.
But despite their age difference, the marriage was a happy one. And
well, sure.
In his writings, he would, in his, journal. He would
Did he have to drop her off at elementary school?
He would describe it was weird because he would describe like he would call her wifey and then sweetie and then he would talk about his it almost had his father daughter relationship. It was creepy even for me. So
yeah.
So
well,
but anyway, they were happy.
Well,
they would
creepy
and they actually
you,
played leapfrog together.
Well, who does? That's the key to a happy marriage, right there, is playing leapfrog.
I'm sure the Colonel and Renee play leapfrog.
And let me tell you something.
They play leapfrog.
It'll be on the video.
We play chutes and ladders.
Okay.
Because that's what holds us together.
Okay, but he was really in love.
Gross.
With Virginia.
Gross.
Well, it's kind of like Woody Allen.
No, it's
kind of
gross.
Woody Allen. What's her
it's
name?
Not like that. That's gross.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just reporting this, okay? I'm not...
It's disgusting.
I am not Edgar Allan Poe myself. I'm just telling you what...
But I feel like you have very Poe-esque qualities.
You do have some Poe-esque similarities.
Why would you say that?
Well, Poe liked women that were, barely old enough to
now,
read.
I have a 25-year-old.
That just learned how to tie their shoes.
They have to be at least 25 for me.
Okay, well, 25.
I mean, did he take her and drop her off at her elementary school and
I think,
write her notes and study
hall? No, but he did teach her algebra. He taught her...
Oh, I bet he taught her a lot of things that she didn't know.
They would share activities.
Sharing activities
she
that we're worried about.
And we'll talk about that in a minute, her singing. They play parlor games.
I'm sure.
And they went riding on...
Well, because she can't get in a bar.
They rode horses. I'm not excusing what he did. I'm just telling you that's...
She wasn't even taller than Fred Flintstone. He couldn't
We're
take her to the
you,
amusement.
Why are you blaming me? I'm not Edgar Allan Poe.
I feel like you're reporting it as...
No, I'm not. I'm just telling the story.
You don't feel like you're sufficiently disgusted.
Okay, anyway, in 1835, Poe went to work for a magazine called The Southern Literary Messenger.
Hold on.
Did he need a babysitter while he was at work?
Did they just say Southern literacy in the same sentence?
Stop it.
Behave.
That's your homeland.
Yes, it's your homeland,
and
Colonel.
Did he have to get a babysitter while he was at work?
No.
Did he need to take her to daycare?
You know, people didn't live that long, so at 13 she was practically middle age, which actually sadly turns out to be the case. But anyway, we'll get there in a minute.
She gets a consumption.
Can I please get on with the story? So he returns to Richmond, him with his lovely young bride, and he starts working for the Southern Literary Messenger. He was a critic. He was a literary critic, and he was he had a reputation of being kind of cutthroat. And this will come to play later on because a lot of the people that he kind of, you know, were vicious, his targets of this criticism, one of them would write his biography. And that's how we get the Poe.
That's how you get even with people.
Yeah. That would be like, Colonel, that would be like you writing Brandy's biography. You might embellish it in ways that would
Why
not
could
be.
I not write
Well, I don't
his
believe
his...
that I would have to even embellish.
Well, hurtful? But anyway, he gets some enemies in the literary circle that he was a part of.
He had jacked up hair.
Yeah, he did.
He did have crazy
hair. We had really crazy hair when he died. We'll get to that, too. So, anyway.
His hair's in there?
So, when you see, I mean, he was disheveled when he found it. But anyway, we'll get
disheveled
there.
All the time.
he was very, like I said, he had a very aggressive, cutthroat style when it comes to being a critic. Which you think if he was a writer, he'd cut a break to his peers?
Nope. Elevating them.
Yeah. You know, like, I am never critical of you guys and how you podcast because I'm a fellow podcaster. Even though I'm
yes, you are.
You are
pretty
critical
all the time.
I believe
you said the last statement you said about our podcasting was.
I wish I paid you.
I wish
so
I paid
you
so I could fire you.
Yeah, I got that on my to-do list for 2016. Okay, so now Poe was known to take a drink now and then.
He should. He's married to a child.
Well, he had some money problems.
They will make you drink.
He had some money problems, and he was, you know,
He was a gambler and a whore.
But see, again, you got to remember...
Remember,
the people writing the history, his biography, don't like him. So keep that in mind. But anyway, Poe and Virginia were struggling financially. They went to live... they lived in Richmond, but they would later move to... New York. But anyway, in January of 1842, Virginia was at the piano playing. As I said, he loved to hear her sing, and she was playing the piano, and she started coughing. And when she did, Poe noticed on her lip that there was some blood.
Oh, good.
So did he just kill her before?
That's the first sign
he killed her before she could go through all that, didn't he?
No, but a blood vessel broke in her throat, he knew at that point that she had the consumption.
When my step-pappy got the consumption, he said he was 12 years old. He was running, there was playing in the field, and he coughed a little bit and wiped his mouth, looked down at his hand, and said he seen a big smear of blood, and he knew that his days were numbered.
Yeah, and so did
and yet.
Poe knew that Virginia's
still
alive
to this day.
Yeah, but this was 1842, so you know, it was not
he wasn't born yet.
Yeah. So Poe knew that what was in store because as I said, he saw his brother die of it, he saw Francis die of it, his mother had died of it. So he began to work. He was working and writing, knowing that the love of his life was basically dying. She would live for 5 more years, but
she was on borrowed time.
Yeah, because she was so young, I guess it gave her, she was able to fight it a little bit more. Poe began to drink more heavily under the stress of Virginia's illness. In 1845, he wrote, while she was in the next room, basically dying. She died in 1847. But while she was in the next room struggling with her illness, he wrote The Raven, which...
Nevermore.
Which, you know, is most of Poe's poems and stories are about young women dying, you know.
Yeah.
My favorite, The Raven is my personal favorite.
Yeah, The Raven, of course, when he says Lenore.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary.
Yeah, kind of.
That's moving.
Yeah, it is moving. But anyway, he became quite famous for The Raven, but as I said, it only netted him $14 in cash. So, but kids would come up to him and they called him The Raven on the street, and he would scare them away by saying "Nevermore." He kind of liked the notoriety and stuff, but he was dealing with some serious stuff because he knew that Virginia's days were numbered, and they were. Finally, after he got a little bit, he was getting some professional success, but he was falling into a greater depression because Virginia was starting to slip away. She died in 1847 of the consumption, and that really, really just, if he had a hard time before with drinking and depression, this one really pushed him over the edge.
She was how old when she died?
Well, I think she was in her early 20s when she died. I'd have to go back and calculate all that, but it looks like, so in 36 she was 12 years old, and this would have been 11 years later, so.
Well, they were married 11 years.
So she's in her mid-20s. He was married. He was devoted to her. He loved her. But after she died, it's almost like he needed another, like I said, he had good relationships with women, and he was afraid to be alone. So he started pursuing a lot of different women to get married again. And he would write them, he would send the same letters to different women who are like copy and pasting before this time.
Right.
And his real love was, of course, Virginia, and she had died of this consumption. So he was overcome by grief, and he was, as I said, he was going up and down the West Coast trying to find work, trying to make a career, and also trying to, deal with this terrible loss. And that brings us to Brandy.
So, poor Edgar Allan Poe.
See, you were so down on him a minute ago. Yeah.
I am, because he married a child, and a child that he was related to. His death on October 7th, 1849 has remained mysterious. But the circumstances leading up to his death are uncertain, and the cause of death is disputed.
I find the man just still. It's just, I'm looking at the.
His hair's crazy.
Presently, my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer.
Yeah. So on October 3rd, Poe was found delirious on the streets of Baltimore, Maryland. He was
back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning.
He was in great distress and in need of immediate assistance.
Wretch, I cried, thy God lent thee. By these angels, they shall be.
According to...
The devil just tore up the raven. I was trying to give you the Colonel rendition of it.
According to Joseph Walker, who found him. He was taken...
Nevermore!
Nevermore, devil.
He was taken to Washington College Hospital, where he died at 5 a.m. on Sunday, October 7th.
So they basically find him in the street, disheveled.
Yeah. Like, I know you didn't get all that from all the bullshit coming from my left, but yeah.
Okay, they found him on the street, so he incoherent.
He was never coherent enough to explain how he came to be in this condition. But the last...
I bet Brittany can relate to that.
A lot of the information of the last days of his life come from his attending physician, Dr. John Joseph Moran, though his credibility is somewhat questionable. Poe was buried after a small funeral at the back of Westminster Hall and Burying Ground and Bar
now,
and Grill.
Are you sure he was dead? Because I heard Poe say...
Nevermore.
No, he said, presently my soul grew stronger. Hesitating then no longer.
Yeah, so he...
But the fact is, I was napping. and so gently you came rapping.
Rapping on my chamber
rapping
door.
Rapping on my chamber door.
'Tis the wind.
And so faintly you came tapping. Tapping.
I'm about ready to come tapping on your door. Shut up and so, let me get through this.
The Poe is
so you're not a Poe fan.
I am a Poe fan. I have read many, many, many works by Poe. I have read more works by Poe than you know about.
She's forgotten more Poe shit than
that's
you
right.
Know.
I am Poe literate. So
she a hoe for Poe.
I am. So he was buried at the back, a small funeral at the back of Westminster Hall and Burying Ground and Bar and Grill.
Yeah, but and remember, remains, he was poor. I mean, he was broke.
His remains were moved to a new grave with a larger monument in 1875. The newer monument also marks the burial place of Poe's wife, Virginia, and his mother-in-law slash, what, cousin, Maria?
Your sister.
No, that was his aunt.
Aunt, sorry, aunt, Maria. Theories as to
for the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful
Annabelle Lee.
Lee.
I know. Are you guys serious?
You like the Annabelle Lee?
It is going to take forever if you don't shut the fuck up and let us get through this.
No. Okay.
Sorry,
now
Dottie.
Sorry, Dottie. Rating on our podcast. Yeah, that you can't. One podcast we can't get through without you using the sailor language.
Theories as to what caused Poe's death include suicide, murder. You know what? This is like everything. Suicide, murder, cholera, rabies, syphilis, influenza, and that Poe was a victim of cooping.
Yeah.
Stuck him in there with a bunch of chickens. That's what happened.
Cooping or pooping?
Cooping.
Cooping.
Okay. I would just like to say, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabelle Lee. Go ahead. Please continue.
If he talks, I'm leaving.
Shut up, Charles.
I'm just reading. I'm so moved.
Then move silently.
Please continue, Brandon.
Evidence of the influence of alcohol is strongly disputed.
Yeah, again, his biography is written by his former competitor. Yeah.
After Poe's death, Rufus Wilmot Griswold.
The bastard.
Best name ever.
Yeah, you're
that's
the bastard.
That's what I'm going to name my next dog. Rufus Griswold.
Oh, gosh. Wrote his obituary.
He was on vacation, wasn't he?
He's the dog that ran behind him for 2 miles.
Poor little guy. Probably kept up for a little while. He wrote his obituary under the pseudonym Ludwig. Griswold was a contemporary of Poe's, but was also known to have a deep jealousy of him. He became the literary executor of Poe's estate.
He was the literary executioner?
Basically.
Executor.
He was the executor, but he's like stole all this stuff.
But he was actually a rival of Poe's, and later published his first full biography, depicting him as a depraved, drunk, drug-addled madman.
Yeah, and that's the kind of reputation he had. I mean, that's when people think of Poe, they think of this.
When you marry your cousin.
Actually,
oh, he loved her. They had a nice marriage.
What is with you? Oh, he loved her. He loved her. She was 12.
When did you get so romantic?
She's almost 13.
She was almost 13 going on.
She was 11 months from 13.
Prophet said I, thing of evil. Prophet still, if bird or devil.
Come on, Brady. You gotta come back.
Okay, come back. I won't read no more. But that
never more will you read.
Never more will I shall I read the Poe while you're doing your intro.
Can I get an amen?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Oh, crap, I forgot where I was. So much of the evidence for this image of Poe is believed to have been forged by Griswold, and though friends of Poe's have denounced it, this interpretation has had the most long-lasting impact. On September 27, 1849, they've pieced together. Poe left Richmond, Virginia on his way home to New York. There's no reliable evidence that exists about Poe's whereabouts until a week later on October 3rd, where he was found delirious on the streets of Baltimore outside Ryan's Tavern. Sometimes it's referred to Gunner's Hall. That's what I call it, is Gunner's Hall.
When I Google it, when it's on Yelp, it is...
Do they get good reviews?
Going to go down to Gunner's, get us some shooters.
Yeah. Well, and here's my other question. it's not really that unusual to see him outside Ryan's Tavern.
Right. Well, so, well, they knew him. They recognized him. So
a printer named Joseph Walker sent a letter requesting
some help.
He sent a letter from an acquaintance of Poe's, Dr. Joseph Snodgrass.
Which I don't get, because you're sending a letter. They didn't have no urgent care back then.
Yeah,
I mean,
there was.
I think he sent it with a boy.
Oh, okay.
Or a raven.
Yeah. Well.
Or a raven.
Pigeon.
Carry a raven.
Whatever. So the letter reads, "Dear Sir, there's a gentleman rather worse for wear." Right.
It's an understatement.
At Ryan's Fourth Ward polls, who goes under the, I don't know what that word is.
A name.
Yeah.
It means name. I looked it up.
Yeah, it's a stupid word.
I probably should have.
Edgar A. Poe, who appears in great distress and says he is acquainted with you, and I assure you he is in need of immediate assistance. Yours in haste, Joes W. Walker.
So he sends a letter to the doctor, say, hey, we need some help for this guy. He's delirious.
Yeah.
And he's disheveled.
Snodgrass later claimed the note said that Poe was in a state of beastly intoxication, but the original letter proved otherwise. Snodgrass's first-hand account describes Poe's appearance as repulsive, with unkempt hair, a haggard, unwashed face, and lusterless and vacant eyes. His clothing, Snodgrass said...
Which the devil calls Wednesday.
Whatever. Judge her. His clothing, Snodgrass said, which included a dirty shirt with no vest.
No vest?
It's better than having a dirty vest with no shirt.
No vest? What kind of savage had he turned into?
I don't.
Maybe he was one early version of the Chippendales.
And he had unpolished shoes.
Well,
and they were worn and did not fit well.
I don't want to cast any stone.
So he's wearing a stranger's shoes.
Yeah, he's wearing a stranger's clothes. None of the clothes fit well.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing worse than uncomfortable shoes.
So
there's nothing worse than wearing a stranger's clothes.
So Dr. John Joseph Moran,
especially their underwear,
who was Poe's attending physician, finally shows up.
That's when you go commando.
Yes.
I'm commando.
He
right
finally
now.
Shows up and gives his own detailed account of Poe's appearance that day. He was in a stained, faded, old bombazine coat, pantaloons of a similar character.
Pantaloons? Now, everybody know the Poe don't wear no pantaloons.
Well, obviously.
This is back before MC Hammer.
He was wearing pantaloons.
Pantaloons of a similar character, a pair of worn-out shoes, run down on the heels, and an old straw hat. Now, I'm sorry. Poe in a straw hat.
Yeah, that's
not that. You gotta let that mess
run. That raises questions.
He's got Kramer hair. You gotta let that stuff run free.
Yeah, it raises questions.
It does.
Poe was a snappy dresser.
Yeah, he took pride in his appearance. He was a Southern gentleman, and he took pride in his.
I know, because it says right here that I'm getting ready to read that.
Okay. Well, no.
Poe was never coherent enough again.
Why do we even have her?
How he came to be in this condition. And it is believed the clothes he was wearing were not his own.
That's not an affirmative least action because thing.
wearing shabby clothes were out of character for Poe.
See,
he was a snappy dresser.
I knew I read that somewhere.
Yeah, you did. So Moran.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
cared for Poe at the for-profit Washington College Hospital on Broadway and Fayette Street. So that's where that's at. Okay. He was denied any visitors and confined in a prison-like room with barred windows in a section of the building reserved for drunk people.
Yeah. They only let the doctor who was the only one who saw him.
Yeah, but they throw drunk people in the hospital?
Well, when in doubt,
it better be thrown in the workhouse.
Well, but he was basically in jail. He was in a room by himself, and the only one who could see him was the doctor, and he changed his story all the time. Like he
probably because he was a drunk, too.
He would give lectures, and he changed his story around.
Poe has said to repeatedly called out the name Reynolds on the night before his death, though no one has ever been able to identify the person to whom he referred. One possibility is that he's recalling an encounter with Jeremiah N. Reynolds, a newspaper editor and explorer who may have inspired the novel The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket.
Now that's...
I knew a man.
There was a girl from Nantucket.
He knew Arthur Pym of Nantucket.
Mm-hmm. Poe married a girl from Nantucket.
Yes, he did.
Go ahead, please.
Gross. Another possibility is Harry Reynolds. They got Reynolds all over the place, and they can't figure out who he's talking about.
It's a process of elimination.
Another possibility is Harry Reynolds, one of the judges overseeing the Fourth Ward polls at Ryan's Tavern, who may have met Poe on Election Day. Poe may have instead been called... Wait a minute. May have instead been calling for Herring, as the author had an uncle-in-law in Baltimore named Henry Herring, which...
Yeah, it sounds like Reynolds.
Nothing like Reynolds. In later testimony, Moran avoided reference to Reynolds, but mentioned a visit by Mrs. Herring.
Yeah, who's this? This woman we don't know.
Yeah, this is out of the blue.
And like I said, the only one that really saw him throughout this whole period, these 4 days, was...
The doctor.
Mm-hmm. He also claimed he attempted to cheer Poe up during one of the few times Poe was awake.
Did a little soft shoe for him?
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
When Moran told his patient that he would soon be enjoying the company of friends, Poe allegedly replied that the best thing his friend could do would be to blow out his brains with a pistol.
Now, that's a friend.
That is a friend, because I thought...
I would do that to either one of you.
Thank you, Brandy.
Just know that.
That means a lot.
That means a lot to me, because I don't want to be one of the zombies.
I would stab you straight through the eye.
Thank you.
Okay.
In Poe's distress, he made a reference to a wife in Richmond. He may have been delusional, thinking that his wife Virginia was still alive, or he may have been referring to Sarah Elmira Royster, to whom he had recently proposed.
His heart was on fire.
For Elmira. Giddy up.
They had a love that was more than love.
That was Annabelle Lee.
Oh.
He did not know what had happened to his trunk of belongings, which, it transpired, had been left behind at the Swan Tavern in Richmond. Love the Swan. You should see that on Yelp.
I go there and play darts sometimes. Watch football.
Play darts. Big dart player, are you?
Well, not bad.
Okay. Moran reported that Poe's final words were, "Lord, help my poor soul," before dying on
October 7th. It probably didn't sound like an evangelist preacher.
You don't know what he sounded like.
I believe he would have said something more along the lines of, "Good Lord Jesus, help my poor soul."
Pitch in the forehead.
You think that's what... Do you think?
Okay, so Poe dies under mysterious circumstances.
Because Poe did not have visitors, Moran was probably the only person to see the author in his last days. Even so, Moran's credibility has been questioned repeatedly, if not considered altogether untrustworthy. Throughout the years after Poe's death, his story changed as he wrote and lectured on the topic. All medical records and documents, including Poe's death certificate, have been lost, if, in fact, they ever existed.
Probably not.
The precise cause of Poe's death is disputed, but many theories exist. Many biographers have addressed the issue and reached different conclusions, ranging from Jeffrey Meyer's assertion that it was hypoglycemia to John Walsh conspiratorial murder plot theory.
Anyone ever claim he got the consumption?
No, I don't think so.
He did not have the consumption.
It has also been suggested that Poe's death may have resulted from suicide related to depression. In 1848, he nearly died from an overdose of laudanum.
Love Lotham. But how is he committing suicide if he's rambling around, walking around?
Readily available. Well, he took enough to jack himself up, but not quite enough to
push him over the edge.
Yeah. So laudanum was readily available as a tranquilizer and painkiller, unlike now where you got to buy it from the guy on the corner.
Damn.
I know.
I wish you could buy it at the store.
Well, just go down the street. Though it's unclear if this was a true suicide attempt or just a miscalculation on Poe's part, it did not lead to Poe's death a year later. Snodgrass, however, was convinced that is a conclusion right there.
You have to take a lot of lead to Snodgrass die a year
the
later.
The guy who was tying people to the railroad tracks?
Snidely Whiplash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's close. Snodgrass was convinced that Poe died from alcoholism and did a great deal to popularize the idea. He was a supporter of the temperance movement and found Poe a useful example in his temperance work.
I don't like those damn temperance people.
I don't either. They're kind of a pain in the ass.
They're not fun.
They're really not fun at parties at all.
No.
But they're great if you need a DD.
True. Good point.
However, Snodgrass's writings on the topic have been proven, what?
False.
Untrustworthy. Moran contradicted Snodgrass by stating in his own 1885 account that Poe did not die under the effect of any intoxicant. Moran claimed that Poe had not the slightest odor of liquor upon his breath or person.
See, that's what I'm telling you.
Even so, some newspapers...
Oh, my darling, my darling, my life and my bride.
Some newspapers reported that the...
Climb on the colonel and take you a ride.
Yeah, I did say that, really.
It did say that.
Are you done?
Are we done?
Okay.
Oh. No, I'm not done.
Okay.
Are you going to be done soon?
I'm trying!
I got some interesting theories on what caused Poe's
death.
Do
you? Because I'm trying here.
Okay.
Please continue.
Over here. I'm trying over here.
It's very difficult to moderate this podcast with you two. So please continue.
Is it? About ready to get more difficult. Even so, some newspapers at the time reported Poe's death as congestion of the brain.
I've had
like
that
a
before.
Sinus infection.
Yeah. Your brain just gets all clogged up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or cerebral inflammation. Euphemisms for death from disgraceful causes such as alcoholism.
And syphilis.
Syphilis.
The VD.
Yes. In a study of Poe, a psychologist suggested that Poe had dipsomania.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to have.
Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah, dipsomania.
What is it?
That's when you get you get into the swimming pool and you keep bobbing your head up and down.
I dated a girl with dipsomania.
Somebody,
sweet,
you know what?
Sweet girl.
While you sons of bitches aren't doing anything right now, why don't one of you look that up and see what it is? Poe's characterization as an uncontrollable alcoholic is disputed.
I would just like to say that if you had prepared for the podcast, you would have looked that up prior.
Yeah, let me look that up.
His drinking companion for a time, Thomas Mayne Reed, admitted that the two engaged in wild frolics. But that Poe never went beyond the innocent mirth in which we all indulge. While acknowledging this as one of Poe's failings, I can speak truly of it not being habitual.
Dipsomania is binge drinking.
Thank you.
Something you
lips
should know about.
That touch liquor will never touch mine.
That's fine, too. Some believe Poe had severe susceptibility to alcohol and became drunk after one glass of wine. He only drank during difficult periods of his life and sometimes went several months at a time without alcohol. Adding further confusion about the frequency of Poe's use of alcohol was his membership in the Sons of Temperance at the time of his death.
Yeah, he was a temperance guy too, huh?
So, the colonel.
Yeah.
So
now that he's
on.
Done running his fucking Peter Puffer, he is going
again.
To talk to us about
language, please.
He's going to review the different theories proposed
M17
about Poe's demise.
Yeah, there was many different theories.
Well, there's many theories about how Poe died,
and I will give you the common fracking courtesy of not jacking around while you do that.
But
she's going to speak nevermore.
Nevermore!
Okay, Colonel.
There's really nine theories on
nine?
How Pope. Nine theories.
We can take the top three.
No.
We got all nine.
We can go through the whole nine. Because
all kind of interesting. And the first one is, and one thing that you neglected in your research.
I did.
No, the producer here, he did not mention.
Thank you.
Please.
Is that why, when he left his trunk at the House of Ill Repute, it was reported that Poe had $1,500 cash on him.
That place was not a House of Ill Repute.
And it had been about $30,000 in today's money from subscriptions. So one is that he was robbed and beaten. And then E. Oak Smith, in her article, Autobiographic Notes at Galen Poe, she says, at the instigation of a woman who considered herself injured by him, he was cruelly beaten, blow upon blow, by a ruffian who knew of no better mode of avenging supposed injuries.
Ruffians are a bitch.
I never hang out with ruffians.
It is well known that a brain fever followed.
They first thought that
Poe died of what they call phrenitis.
Uh-huh.
An inflammation of the brain from drinking too much alcohol.
I thought that was called diphthomania.
No, diphthomania causes the phrenitis.
Uh-huh.
So that was one theory. Now, the other theory, the more interesting theory is, and possibly a more likely one, is a combination. Now, the colonel going to sum this up and wrap it up at the end because he knows what happened to Poe. Here's the theories. Is cooping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cooping...
What was cooping?
Cooping was when there was an election going on.
Mm-hmm.
You take people and you dress them up in different clothes and get them to vote five or six times. Now, if they went along willingly, they didn't get a beaten. If they didn't go along willingly, they got beat, stripped, put clothes on, and
This is kind of the era of the boss system where you'd have the big political bosses and they would have their goons beat people up and take... That seems like a lot of work to get people...
Voter fraud was very, very common in Baltimore around the mid-1800s. And the polling site where Walker found Poe was a known place where Coopers brought their victims. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he was found delirious on election day, it could not be a coincidence.
But why would you... But that, the thing about that I don't understand is, why would he be delirious after 4 days? I mean, he had to be more than just getting his butt kicked.
Well, the cooping theory is really come to be one of the more widely accepted explanations for his strange demeanor before his death. Before Prohibition, voters were given alcohol after voting as a sort of reward. And had Poe been forced to vote multiple times in a cooping scheme, this might explain his semi-conscious, ragged state.
Again, he's drunk. Okay, he's beat up. Okay, but for 4 days?
Yeah, well, and because of this, now his biographer, J.H. Ingram, received several letters that blamed Poe's death on a cooping scheme. And a letter of a man named William Hand Brown, that's a peculiar name,
yeah.
He was a member of the faculty at Johns Hopkins. He said that the general belief here is that Poe was seized by one of these gangs. His death happening just at election time, an election for sheriff took place on October 1st. He was cooped, stupefied with liquor.
He was cooped.
Dragged out.
I've been
and voted,
stupefied with liquor before.
I've been cooped.
Then turned adrift to die. Now, that's a possibility.
All right.
Alcohol is another one because at times Poe could be a binge drinker. Poe suffered from depression and melancholy.
He did
and
go to college.
Everything.
Of course he's a binge drinker.
So it's...
Yeah.
And Poe...
Yeah, his professor
had
was
a,
when he was in school.
Peculiar affliction...
He probably did it.
That he could he could not handle alcohol. Poe could not... All his friends would say, after one drink, Poe would be staggering.
Under the table, huh?
Yeah, so, and his sister had the same problem, and it was possibly something hereditary. Now, Poe was a pretty vocal member of the temperance movement, so he stayed away. And another biographer, Susan Tallywacker.
Wow.
Susan Tallywacker recalls in her biography, The Last Days of Edgar Allan Poe, an event toward the end of Poe's time in Richmond that might be relevant to theorists that prefer a death by drinking demise for Poe. Poe had fallen ill in Richmond after making a somewhat miraculous recovery, was told by his attending physician that another such attack would prove fatal. Now, according to Weiss, Poe replied, "If people would not tempt me, I would not fall." So it suggested that the first illness was brought on by a bout of drinking. Those around Poe during his final days seemed convinced that he did indeed fall into that temptation, drinking himself to death. His close friend J.P. Kennedy wrote, On Tuesday last, Edgar A. Poe died in town here at the hospital from the effects of a debauch. He fell in with some companion here who seduced him to the bottle, much like the devil does.
Yeah.
Which it was said that he had renounced some time ago. The consequence was fever, delirium, and madness. And in a few days, a termination of a sad career in the hospital. Poor Poe. A bright but unsteady light has been awfully quenched.
Yeah, I don't buy the booze argument. Maybe he may have been drinking, but...
Well, the theory that it explains his five-day disappearance. It's a binge drink thing.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really explain the whole 5 days. It doesn't explain the secondhand clothes. Now,
Which is weird.
A popular theory propagated by Snodgrass, who was kind of pissed off at Poe.
Right.
So, you know, Snodgrass, too, as we said, was a member of the temperance movement, and he gave lectures across the country, and he played up on Poe's death and talked about binge drinking and said, you know, had it not been for... So he used it. He was using it for a political gain. Now, another one is carbon monoxide poisoning. Some people think that Poe took his car. And
it was their cars in 1849.
Okay, no, let's go with another theory. Now, in 1999, there was a public health researcher. His name was Arthur Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Poe's death was a result of carbon monoxide poisoning from coal gas that was used for indoor lighting during the 19th century. Donnie took clippings of Poe's hair and tested them for certain heavy metals that would be able to reveal the presence of the coal gas.
Yeah, they had some of Poe's hair, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, the test was inconclusive, but it did show just a tremendous amount of heavy metal in it. So, which leads to our next theory of... Heavy metal poisoning.
Metallica.
Iron Maiden killed DePoe.
No, that's not true. But go on with the theory poisoning. Of the heavy metal theory.
Well, Donnie's test didn't reveal the levels of heavy metal consistent with carbon monoxide poisoning.
She's being distracted.
The devil being, what is that word? Petulant.
Yes. Please continue. Colonel, I'm sorry for the rude interruption.
Thank you, Timothy. While Donnie's test did not reveal...
She's got the giggles. I don't know.
We can't, you know, we cannot... Can we just... This is why we can't have nice things around here. Can we just one time put on a nice podcast?
We've got people all over the world listening to this podcast, and you're over there...
You're disappointing Canute.
Yes, you're disappointing.
I am Storm.
I don't think I am.
Storm.
Lady Beverly? I mean,
Lady
come on.
Yeah.
Have some respect.
If we had Lady Beverly, she would not be acting like you are acting right now.
She probably would not.
That's right.
But she doesn't work with you people.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the Led Zeppelin poisoning.
Yeah. Heavy metal poisoning.
Robert Plant did it.
He had an unbelievable amount of mercury in his system. Now,
was he a hatter? Because you know that
that's where Mad Hatter comes from.
Yeah.
He'd been exposed to a cholera epidemic in Philadelphia, and Poe's doctor prescribed calomel or mercury chloride.
Yeah.
Now, mercury poisoning could help some explain his hallucinations and delirium before his death, but the levels found, even at the highest, are about 30 times below what mercury poisoning would be. Now, here's a really, really interesting theory.
Okay.
1996, Dr. Robert Michael Benitez was participating in a clinical pathologic conference where doctors are given patients along with a list of symptoms. And what they do is they stand up there, they list off, like House, they list off the symptoms and the doctor they has don't, to
say, without knowing who the patient
was. Without knowing
was.
Who it was.
Right.
And they gave, and the anonymous patient was E.P., a writer from Richmond.
Yeah, they'd have never got that.
Well, I mean, you know, unless you're thinking along those lines, yeah. You would never know. If they just put up EP.
And they gave a list of symptoms, and they were told to diagnose, and the supervising physician there, J.J. Moran, according to his symptoms, they said he'd been admitted to the hospital due to lethargy and confusion. Once admitted, his condition began a rapid downward spiral, which Pose did. Shortly, the patient was exhibiting delirium, as the devil often does, visual hallucinations, wide variations in pulse rate, and rapid shallow breathing. Within 4 days, the median length of survival after the onset of serious rabies symptoms, EP was dead. So these doctors diagnosed just based on the symptoms and how he mm-hmm. presented what happened afterwards, that this patient died of rabies. And it was a pretty fairly common virus back in the 19th century.
They should have a fun run.
They did have a fun run, but they was running away from the rabid rabbits. So, and those rabid rabbits are
over,
fast.
They dumped ice over their head.
Yeah. So, and it ran in the September 1996 issue of the Maryland Medical Journal.
So all these doctors got together, and they, without knowing who the patient was, just by the symptoms, they decide it's likely it was rabies.
They these doctors did, and this was published. Now, without DNA evidence, it's impossible to say. The few kinks in this theory are that he had no evidence of hydrophobia. And those
fear
people...
Fear of water.
Yeah, fear of water. Those people with rabies often get this. They don't... But... Poe was drinking water at the hospital until his death. And there wasn't really any evidence of an animal bite. But, you know, sometimes with rabies, people don't remember being bitten by an animal.
And
if you're bitten by a bat, bitten by a rat, you know.
Yeah, how thoroughly did they examine him, too?
Right.
If he got bit by a bat, though.
He would have been a vampire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it would be like going to a medical convention and you put up... Patient CW suffers from premature ejaculation.
Yeah, delusions. Delusions of grandeur.
Of grandeur.
Erectile dysfunction.
No,
hemorrhoidal discomfort.
All those things.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Bloody stool.
At the time of the publication.
Facial lesions.
Jerome, the curator at the Poe House.
An inverted penis.
Now, I would not want to be the Poe.
Inverted penis.
Inverted penis. and nipples.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys going to take this seriously or are you going to continue with your foolishness?
Please continue.
Okay.
Please.
Now, there is actually a place called the Poe House.
I know. It's for people that don't have a whole lot of
money.
No
money.
It's called the Poe House Museum in Baltimore. I believe my house is one of the exhibits there.
No, your house is a branch.
Yeah. So, and you know, let's go back to someone he was in college, because I've heard this before. He broke up his furniture for firewood.
Right.
These some bitches couldn't find a tree. How many times do you hear people breaking up their furniture?
Where was he? In Virginia?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Richmond.
Was you in the middle of the Grand Canyon? No, you're surrounded by trees. Go get you some branches.
You're in Virginia,
they
dude.
Fall
yeah,
on the ground.
But it doesn't sound as dramatic.
I don't believe people do
cut
that.
Down some trees for firewood.
Oh, you know what? He used it for his writing.
I've broken up some of our furniture that Renee has stored in the garage that she does not know that I caught on fire. But it's the only time.
She
didn't
catch your ass on fire.
But anyway, Jeff Jerome, the curator of the Poe Museum in Baltimore, he agrees with this. He said, this is the first time since Poe died that a medical person looked at Poe's death without any preconceived notions.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore.
See, the devil got the delirium now.
Desolate yet all undaunted on this deserted land enchanted.
You know, when you just blurt out stuff like that, it's hard for our listeners to follow.
Is it hard?
Could you stop?
Is that hard for them to do?
It's distracting for them.
Yeah. It's distracting for everyone.
Think of the listeners.
Yeah.
Really?
Now, here's
another
theory.
You need to be careful.
Here's another theory.
Producer.
Please continue, Colonel.
That he... Thank you. Thank
God,
you, Timmy.
God, give us one more theory.
Well, there's two more. One is, one of the more recent theories is that he succumbed to a brain tumor, which influenced his behavior before his death, because when he would...
Yeah, Poe died, I'll buy into that one.
He was buried rather unceremoniously in an unmarked grave in a Baltimore graveyard.
Because he's a vampire.
They had a shroud for him, but they didn't even have a pillow for his head.
Well, he had all that hair.
Well, why do you need a pillow in your coffin for?
Why do you need silk inside that?
He wasn't staying there very long anyway. Vampire.
Okay, go ahead.
But 26 years after he died, a statue was... Erected.
Yes!
Yes.
At least something in your life gets erected.
Honoring Poe.
Near the graveyard's
entrance. Poe's coffin was dug up, his remains exhumed in order to be moved to the new place of honor. For more than two decades...
Did he get a pillow for his head in the second place?
This is where it gets interesting about his head.
Oh, his head.
Two decades of buried decay had not been kind to Poe's coffin. Water corpse within it, and the apparatus fell apart as workers tried to move it. Little remained of Poe's body, but one worker did remark a strange feature of Poe's skull, a mass rolling around the inside. Now, newspapers of the day claimed the clump was Poe's brain, shriveled yet intact after almost three decades in the ground. Now, we know today that mass could not have been Poe's brain. It's one of the first parts of your body to rot after death, or in the devil's case, rot before death. But Matthew Pearl, an American author, he wrote a novel about Poe's death. He was intrigued by this clump. He contacted a forensic pathologist who told him that while the clump could not be a brain, it could be a brain tumor, which calcify after death into hard masses.
That's what I was wondering. So
maybe it's a bird's egg.
So they think that, so according to them, it's now the last, well, we got nine theories. Number eight here is the flu.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Or the flu.
He could have had the flu.
Didn't get his flu shot. Yeah.
No, and the high fever could have accounted for his hallucinations and his confusion. And then...
Is this the last theory?
The last number nine is murder most foul.
Murder.
Who do they think would have taken the life of young Mr. Poe?
The guy with the weird name.
Well, he was about 40 years old, right?
The theory suggests that Poe was murdered by the brothers of his wealthy fiance, Elmira.
Shelton.
You know what? What if it was Griswold? What if it was Rufus?
Was it Griswold? No, Rufus ain't gonna kill
him. So he, as I said, he was out chasing tail and promising these women he'd marry him because he didn't want to be alone. So he got engaged, and the theory is that her brothers did not like the idea and told him to hit the trail, or they whacked him.
Why couldn't it be Rufus?
Well, and they knew that, and here's the theory, that these guys tracked Poe down. Okay.
Yeah.
He got ambushed by him, and they warned Poe against marrying the girl. Now, Poe's getting scared, so he disguises himself in new clothes, which accounts for the change of clothes.
Yeah.
And hid in Philadelphia for nearly a week, which accounts for his disappearance, before heading back to Richmond to marry Shelton. Now, the Shelton brothers intercepted Poe in Baltimore, and Walsh postulates they beat him and forced him to drink whiskey, which they knew would send him into a deathly sickness. Now, Walsh's theory gained little traction among Poe's historians or book reviewers. Edward Barton said that...
Because it was Rufus.
He called his story only plausible, but not really persuasive.
I mean, if you're going to kill somebody, beat him up and make him drink liquor. I mean, you know, you whack him.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now... So, really, the conclusions is no one but the colonel knows.
You're not saying.
None of the theories fully explain his curious end, and his death may have resulted from a combination of the factors. His attending physician is one of the best sources of evidence, and he recorded
mortality
schedule.
He sucks.
He died of phrenitis.
Tendonitis?
So he was most likely suffering from encephalitis or meningitis, either which might explain those symptoms.
Yeah. Now, itises are a
after
bitch.
Doing exhaustive research, I've done some of my own DNA testing. The Colonel's
theory.
Do you
have a DNA test? Do you have a kit? DNA kit?
It's not. It can't be one of those "Who's Your Daddy" kits. Like it has to be a.
Yeah.
No, what like I do, I got a little beaker, and a butane flame.
Uh huh.
And then I got an attachment from my drill to spin things around real fast inside there.
Yeah. That's
so,
called a mixer.
A mixer. Yeah.
You got a mixer, do you?
And I came to the conclusion.
That you're Poe a jackass.
Got bit by a raccoon.
A raccoon.
Got
while
the
drunk.
Huh?
While drunk.
While drunk.
Can you be bit by a vampire?
The first thing that happens to you when you get the rabies is you get the diarrhea. Now Poe made a mess on himself. What
went? Had to change clothes. He got it on his shoes, which explains the shoes.
He got it on his shoes, went to do it, was minding his own business, foaming at the mouth, doing whatever, you know, what the rabies people do.
Trying to get his fun
run
together.
And then got cooped.
Fun run for the cure.
So he was cooped, bitten by a raccoon, and then beaten to death by these Pinkerton brothers.
Ruffians.
Pinkerton brothers.
Yeah.
I think it's the
Sheldon brothers.
The Sheldon brothers.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is it the Koch brothers?
Okay. Well, that's
it was
an interesting.
The Koch brothers. The Koch brothers.
Yeah.
They beat him to death.
Brandy, what is your theory on what happened?
I think he had a brain tumor.
Okay. I think he got some kind of disease. I think he had meningitis or something. That makes more sense to me than
brain tumor.
Well, he could have had a brain tumor, I guess. That's plausible.
I'm still
more plausible
going with
than
the
bullshit
and
he just spit
theory.
Out.
Well, all right. But anyway. Poe dies.
Dead.
Poe dies.
And then, guess what happens? In 1949...
They exhumed him.
100 years later, no. On his birthday, 100 years later, 1949...
Doesn't somebody bring flowers or something to his grave?
Yes, I'm getting to that. Please.
Oh,
guess what happened?
Yeah.
We're guessing.
I guessed.
Yes, you guessed.
We're now going to talk...
I
win.
We're now going to talk about the Poe Toaster.
Wiener, wiener, chicken dinner.
Who pays homage at Poe's grave annually.
It began
in 1949. The man began the tradition involved sneaking into the cemetery in the dead of night while dressed in black clothes, a wide-brimmed hat, black hat, and a white scarf.
She wore a straw hat.
Mm-hmm. Upon arriving at the grave, the toaster would place three roses beside the grave in particular order.
Are they black roses?
I don't know. Before opening
what
a
colors?
Bottle of cognac.
What colors are the roses?
I don't know.
Well, that's very important.
What
kind
time
of
exactly
cognac?
Is it day
after?
I think it's midnight.
After toasting
12:15
Poe with a glass, the man would then place the bottle next to the grave before disappearing into the night.
Does he
did
leave
he,
it for hobos or does
did he put? Does he spill
did,
a
do one for his
and
homies?
Say one for my homie?
In the years that follow,
I think that's reasonable.
The toaster kept the tradition alive for 60 years. This has been going
this
on.
This is a man with no life. This is your blood brother.
Six
it's your
years.
Eskimo brother right there.
Someone's been doing it. Every January 19th, this happens. So,
and it's cold down in Baltimore.
Why January 19th?
I think it's his birthday. Yeah, it's his birthday.
Okay.
On every January 19th. So on some other time, on January 19, 1990, a reporter from Life magazine captured a photo of the toaster.
Is he 187 years old?
We don't know. 3 years later, the toaster left a note behind in 1993, 3 years later after 1990, a note behind saying that he was retiring and that the torch would be passed on.
Did he post it on Craigslist?
His replacement was a bit strange.
Well...
As this new toaster started leaving notes about the Iraq War and the 2001 Super Bowl, which featured
the Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Right. So,
I don't know why you were.
In 2006, a group of fans attempted, not Ravens fans, Poe fans, attempted to intercept the toaster.
Poe boys?
but they failed. They fell short.
Those homies.
Okay. So in 2010, the tradition all of a sudden stopped. The Poe toaster, no more. So sadly, the toaster. Sadly, the real toaster hasn't put. And there was a couple of fake toasters that came along. But
how do you know they were fake toasters?
They said they were fake toasters. In the research, they said.
They feel like they're real toasters. They're not getting paid for this gig. How can you say they're fake?
I guess the toasters did not do it the right way. I don't know.
Well, neither did the other guy. He's leaving notes about football.
Sadly, the real toaster hasn't appeared since 2009.
Because he's dead.
And the tradition is nevermore. But alas.
Are you picking up that tradition?
The Maryland Historical Society. Now, this is true. This, I mean, you know, everything, you know, that Brandy or
well,
the Colonel says, you got to take
true.
With a grain of salt. But the Maryland Historical Society is attempting to rekindle.
It's
hurtful.
Is attempting to rekindle this tradition. And let me tell you how they're doing that.
They're going to do some cognac by his thing, put the rose.
They are, according to the Maryland Historical Society website, that is at www.mdhs.org, swear to God, they are having a contest to select a new Poe toaster.
Why would we doubt you on
why
that?
Why don't they just post it on Craigslist?
On October 31st, 2015, so what?
A couple weeks
from this podcast.
Did you apply?
No, I didn't. The finalists will be announced at the Poe Baltimore's Black Cat Ball. You'll be there. It's in Baltimore, and it's hosted by the Maryland Historical Society. Oh. You can go to their website, or you can go to the Maryland Historical Society's webpage, Facebook page, on November the 1st. And they're going to select the finalists. There's going to be 10 to 12 of them. And they're going to have three judges and a live audience at the Maryland Historical Society on November 7th, 2015. And after the auditions of the toast.
Is there a swimsuit competition for that?
I don't know.
Like,
but they're going to have this competition. And then this is going to be live streamed online.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
You don't have to go to the Netflix, the Hulu. You can just go right to their website. Right to the website, www.mdh.org. And you can watch this live competition to select the next Poe toaster.
Top model.
And they will perform the toast Edward's birthday starting January of 2016.
I don't like that.
And it will be a big day.
It seems too organized.
Well, yeah. I liked it better with someone
mysterious.
When
it's a mystery.
Yeah, mysterious.
Yeah.
Doing it, but
they should select somebody on the down low.
Well, mm-hmm. And they may. We don't know.
And be done with it. No, they're live streaming it on the Jumbotron.
I am going to watch this, and I'm going to report back, because I have nothing to do else to do.
You should definitely do that.
So, very good podcast. Very dark person, our Mr. Poe. And he died. I think he died of the colon cancer. I think he had
colon cancer.
He had the bloody stool.
That's Chuck.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chuck.
I don't have the bloody stool.
You have bloody stool.
Have you checked your stool lately?
I'm not a stool checker. I'm not one of those.
Well,
stool
you really should check it. You really should check
a
your stool.
Men's health tip.
Yeah. Okay.
Check your stool.
All men listen out there. Put your head down and check your stool real good.
You don't
okay?
have to put your head down. Just turn around and look.
Yeah, you wait till after you defecate.
You've
then
evacuated.
You check
oh, okay.
And then you check your stool.
And then you check
measure it. Take pictures. You do a selfie.
If it's white.
Snapchat. Whatever.
If it's white or bloody, you're in trouble.
Yeah, if it's bloody, go right to the doctor.
Actually, white, I heard, is the most dangerous.
White part. Is the most dangerous, yes.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it means the stuff in your gut is not doing
its
job.
It means your pancreas is getting blocked off.
Okay, well...
It's a bad scene.
We need to wrap this up. I need to make a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
Brandy, any final words? Any final words?
No.
You got the ghost, dude.
I don't want to say anything else.
His poop looks like Casper.
I thought it was normal. They told me it was normal. Brandy, any final thoughts?
No.
Where can people find us, Colonel?
Well, they could go to the Hulu.
No, find us on Hulu.
Okay. Hulu!
Okay.
And you can find us on Netflix.
Yeah, they most certainly cannot.
We are going to start putting these on video live on the YouTube.
I would like to do that in 2016.
Maybe. Oh, we're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter now.
Mr. Dweebs 1. I haven't updated that. I only updated it once.
Well, you need to get on that, producer. You have nothing else going on.
I've got to watch the POTUS.
You can find
us. And I need to go to the emergency room.
What we'd really like you to do is go to iTunes. Tell us what, rate us.
Not on this one.
Go back to some of the better ones we did.
And how do you do that? Because there's some confusion.
It's very easy to do. You go to our show, and if you just click on the icon, it'll give you a list of shows. And if you click on one of the shows, it'll say, you'll see a couple tabs. It'll say home, review, and just hit review.
Don't you have to subscribe?
No, you don't have to subscribe.
Okay.
If you mention the Colonel, you get 20% off at Al's Hardware in Northbrook, West Virginia. So anyway, that's what you do. You can also find us on Facebook at History Dweeb.
Yeah, just search History Dweebs on Facebook.
History Dweeb. Yeah, we got quite a following. I mean, we got
thousands. Cast of thousands.
I looked at the other day. There was like 4,000 likes on the damn page.
So weird.
Yeah, I put up a lot of good stuff.
You need to put more on Twitter.
I never see our Facebook page. It never shows up in my news feed.
You have to follow us.
You get comments there. You should look at it.
Dumbass.
People are writing.
I go to the page, but I mean, it doesn't show up in my news feed.
I'm sorry.
And you can follow us. Now, next week, tune in next week because we got a special show next week.
We got Casey joining us next week.
Casey joining us. We're going to do a show on what?
That'll be a surprise.
We got Casey, and we're going to go over. We're going to have another dweebate because if you are one of the three people who listen to the show on the Colonel's Corner.
we're not going to call it that.
I just posted a thing for how you keep your man happy when he come home from work, and the devil had a little bit of problem with that. So we're going to have another dweebate.
Rebate next week. Halloween's coming up. We got some cool topics to cover.
It's really going to be like Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Which one is she?
She's Ted Cruz.
Okay. All right. So thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.